Hello, and welcome to the School of Serenity. We are being broadcast on 4MTV. 4MTV is an initiative in North America that brings mindfulness to mental health awareness. The 4Ms stand for mental health, migration, multi-language and culture, and mindfulness. And we are committed to practicing mindfulness beyond borders. I am your host, Kara Keem. Lovely to be here with you today. I am an author, a psychotherapist, and a Reiki master, and I have written a book about intuition and how my life radically transformed when I started following the voice of my intuition. And so my book is called Discovering Your Wings. I am so excited about our guest today. We have with us Chris Rinaldi, and she is a Reiki master, teacher, and a psychotherapist as well. And she has an amazing private practice working to blend psychotherapy and Reiki, calling it psychotherapeutic Reiki, which is a really amazing gift for people to heal within the mind, the body, and the spirit. And so I'm so excited for you to be here today, Chris, and to share all about your work, because I do believe that this is the future of therapy, is really blending energy work and these holistic models. So welcome. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kara.
Yeah. So I'd love for you to share with the audience about psychotherapeutic Reiki and really what that entails in your practice.
Well, psychotherapeutic Reiki is the blend of regular kind of traditional talk therapy, where we would focus on cognitions, focus on underlying patterns, the stories that we tell ourselves, behavioral change, and then also integrating the spiritual practice of Reiki. The spiritual practice of Reiki actually addresses the subtle energetic system. So as we've learned with research and trauma, much of it is caught in the body. And so Reiki will address the nervous system and what traumas or stories are trapped in the body. And so it's really this integrative blend of being able to develop insight and also develop presence with what's coming up and being able to energetically move that out of the body and creating new patterns and new ways of being.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I just love it because I'm so passionate about Reiki. You were one of the first people that I met in Asheville, and you brought me on in your Reiki practice, which is one of the greatest blessings of my life. So I've gotten to personally experience Reiki with you, receiving it from you, and also being a practitioner in your practice. And that's been such a gift. Can you share with our audience what Reiki is? Because it really is this, you're kind of bringing this ancient tradition into like more modern science and blending the two. So I'd love for you to share about the specifics of Reiki.
So Reiki is a Japanese-based healing practice. It's a spiritual practice, and it is done through laying on of hands. The best way I know how to describe it, it's more you have to experience it more than you can actually verbally describe it, is it's essentially a connection to source that comes through the body, and it carries a particular frequency with it. As we know, everything is made out of energy. Our physical bodies are made out of energy. Objects are made out of energy. Our thoughts, our emotions, and our spiritual self is all created of energy. Reiki is a particular frequency of universal life energy. And because it's a particular frequency, it actually it has some particular qualities in the way that it behaves. So, for example, a radio wave behaves very differently than a light wave. They do two different things. And within the band of universal life energy, Reiki is a frequency. It is a band of universal life energy. So when it comes in contact with the human body and the subtle energetic system in the human body, it creates, it engages the parasympathetic nervous system. It allows us to drop down into oftentimes a deeply meditative or mindfulness state. And it also allows whatever it is that is coming up to be held in presence and support. Because Reiki is done through hands-on, it doesn't have to be, it can also be done with distance, but doing hands-on Reiki, we also get the added benefit of human touch, and we live in an incredibly touch-starved society right now.
Yes.
Especially after, well, during the pandemic.
Yes, absolutely.
So there's this co-regulation that happens when we begin invoking when we have the Reiki energy and we engage in Reiki. There's a co-regulation that happens between the practitioner and the person who's receiving the Reiki. Yes. So when you overlay therapy on top of that, we get to really address, we can kind of guide specifically where co-regulation needs to happen. So for example, we can target inner child work. We can send the Reiki to areas within, you know, within the client that are still holding trauma from things that have happened. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when we just develop this presence, this not needing to change it, but just simply being with while surrounding it with universal life energy, there's a really dramatic shift that occurs.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it's so interesting because I started my journey very much as a traditional psychotherapist. You see the client and you assess them, you diagnose them. Then there's the medication piece. You work with someone, and it was just so traditional. And what I realized, I worked in psychiatric units, is that it wasn't working. I saw the same clients coming back for readmission over and over again. And then I finally took a cross-country journey, found Reiki, and it just dawned on me, oh my gosh, this is life-changing. We can combine energy work with therapy and treat the whole person, not just the mind. And your journey was a little bit of the inverse. You started as the Reiki master and you went, oh, wow, wouldn't this be powerful with therapy? Wouldn't
Yes.
it work so well with therapy? So tell us a little bit about your journey, because I find it interesting. We both got to the same place, but we started on the other end.
Yeah, absolutely. So my journey started with the very first time I received Reiki was 1997, I believe. And it was like a public Reiki share. It was my first semester at college, and I wasn't in a great mental health space myself. And I didn't know what Reiki was. Someone had just invited me to this thing. And I was like, okay. And so I went and I received maybe 10 minutes of hands-on Reiki. And I had a profound emotional response. Mm-hmm. I just really, and something within me just opened. And I was kind of like, what was that?
Yes.
And I often look back, and that was such a pivotal point in my healing journey. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like something just clicked. And from that point on, I was kind of a convert, right? I wanted to learn more about Reiki. I wanted to learn more about energy work. I really, really was fascinated with how it had so deeply impacted me and how it deeply impacted other people. So then when I finally went on and I got my Reiki training and I opened up a private practice in 2014, I started working. I realized the people that I was working with were coming to me for anxiety and depression more than anything else.
Yep.
Simultaneously, I was also working with veterans. A number of veterans that were dealing with PTSD, a number of veterans that were female veterans that were dealing with military sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of physical touch mm-hmm. and feeling calm and feeling safe
yes.
and having a moment where they where they were not in a hypervigilant state and their parasympathetic nervous system was engaged. Mm-hmm. I started seeing that that Reiki sessions were having a profound impact on people who were coming either for kind of regular anxiety and depression, right? Or even more significant mental health issues. And so as I worked with more and more people, I realized that I was limited in what I was able to offer them, that I wanted to go deeper. I wanted to be able to serve my clients in a much deeper way. And so that's what caused me to go back to graduate school. So I could really understand the holistic approach, right? Not only spirit, not only the nervous system, but also, understanding about how the mind works, and what happens when we experience trauma within the nervous system and within the body.
Right, right. Yes. And now you have a thriving practice at Insight Owl, you know, yeah. And I mean, you're pretty much booked.
Yes.
You have.
I am.
You are. One thing about you, it doesn't matter if it's a Reiki practice, which I was a part of, or, you know, the psychotherapeutic Reiki, you are a brilliant practitioner and people just flood to you. So you have a gift.
I think the part of what it comes from is when we talk about Reiki, it can get really woo-woo, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about, you know, energy and spirituality, and that's not always accessible to everybody. I like one of the things I think that I really, really try and focus on within my practice, and specifically within Reiki, is that I try and make it really accessible in a way, kind of really understandable, right? Like, it's okay for you not to understand exactly what's happening here, mm-hmm. but let's talk about the experience mm-hmm. of what's happening here. Yeah. Because Reiki is an incredibly experiential treatment. Mm-hmm. Again, like, there is deep healing that happens when we have a moment. If we go back to working with veterans, with PTSD,
yes.
It's something significant that happens when you are in a room with somebody, you feel 100% safe, mm-hmm. and they're touching you, and your body just settles down.
Yes.
And whatever emotional experience you might have before or after is just held in reverence.
Mm-hmm.
That the whole human experience is held in reverence,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, you know, socially approved of or not. So many times, you know, we have the should-be's, you know, or need to's. And so I really like to use not only talk therapy to address that, but also, to use Reiki to kind of address some of those underlying belief systems that we have as well. It helps kind of shake them loose a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. And I know when I was working as a part of your business and you sort of were training me a little bit, because I was new to Reiki. I mean, I was really just coming into it. I had just been attuned, but I wasn't practicing it as a practitioner. And one thing you shared with me is that we do, many of us want touch, healthy touch, healing touch that's very, very appropriate. And there are some of us that the trauma wounds won't allow for that. And the beauty of Reiki is that we don't actually have to touch. I mean, we can go above them. We can work at the feet. We don't have to, for people who aren't comfortable with touch. And, you know, there's that whole debate in therapy in general, but Reiki is so powerful that people can still access it if they have the trauma wounds that they're not comfortable with the physical touch.
Yeah. And it's actually really fascinating as well that, you know, at the beginning of a Reiki session, you always ask, you know, don't feel comfortable being touched on. And sometimes people will list areas.
Yes.
And then it's interesting that later I'll ask the same question because it changes, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, from week to week, it might change. And they'll say no. They'll say, no, my body, it is safe, because Reiki is such safe touch. There's no manipulation of anything. Right. It is really just carefully and with presence,
mm-hmm.
holding very safe parts of the body, shoulders, right. tops of the head. And you made a really good point. During the pandemic, it's been really fascinating, the takeoff of distance Reiki, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have, prior you would always come into an office and you'd lay on a massage table and you'd have, a full Reiki session like that. Whereas with the pandemic, that went away for a really long period of time. There wasn't a way for us to safely practice Reiki in person together, or so we thought in the beginning. Yes. And so kind of shifting over to doing distance Reiki sessions and having really, really similar experiences, mm-hmm. having mm-hmm. people say, I felt a shift. I had this memory come up. I had an emotional release. I feel calmer now, or in some cases I feel more energized according to whether the nervous system is hyper aroused or whether the nervous system is hypo aroused. Mm-hmm. Reiki is really good at it self-adjusts according to whatever the person is needing at that moment.
Yes, absolutely. And that's been something that's been so profound for me. I've been all remote for 2 years now, practicing therapy and Reiki for 2 years. And I don't think I would have believed it had we not gone into this pandemic, that distance Reiki is just as powerful. And my clients have stayed with me and they have said that this is effective. I mean, I am still feeling these shifts, even though we're no longer meeting in person.
Yes. Yes. It's actually really amazing. I just did this. I did self-healing, like a self-care guided Reiki workshop for a handful of therapists. And it was lovely.
Yes.
It was just lovely. And it was only, 15 minutes long, but there was big shifts that happened to everybody that was present. And so that's one of the reasons why I love to pair Reiki specifically with the mindfulness and with therapy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Is this because when we either receive therapy or it's almost like mindfulness on steroids is the best way I know how to describe it, right? So it helps us become really, really present in this curious, compassionate, loving way mm-hmm. with whatever it is that's coming up. Mm-hmm. We don't need to fix it. We don't need to change it. We're just being present with it. Mm-hmm. And that in itself changes. Yes.
It does. Yes, absolutely. That's so powerful. Yes. And it was interesting when you had your Reiki practice, therapists were drawn to you. I mean, you were seeing tons of therapists. And so now I know you're sort of working on this new program to bring Reiki to therapists, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I love that you mentioned before, like the debate about touch.
Yes.
In the psychotherapy community, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Because, and there does have to be informed consent, big informed consent with our clients, right? We have to talk about this. We have to talk about boundaries, about what safe touch is, and about what Reiki is, right? Because this is a spiritual practice. It's interesting. Mindfulness is a spiritual practice. Yoga is a spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. And they have slowly begun to work their way into mainstream psychotherapy. Yep. And I think Reiki is really doing the same. And that means we need training around it. Absolutely. And so because my background is really working around mental health issues with Reiki first, and then I went on and got my degree to get kind of that extra layer of understanding, my master's to understand a bit more and to become licensed as a psychotherapist. Mm-hmm. I feel like really having a specialized program where we talk about how do we use Reiki as therapists, yes. right? Safely, yes. ethically, how do we do the informed consent? How do we deal with touch? When is it contraindicated, right? How do we work with this new model of care within the existing model so everybody stays safe?
Right.
And so that's really what that class is about. Reiki 1 focuses very much on self-care. right?
Mm-hmm.
Give from empty cups.
Yes,
absolutely. Within the psychotherapist community, that burnout is rampant, especially after the pandemic. I know a lot of people are struggling.
Yes.
So that first level is really, it's a regular Reiki training, becoming attuned to Reiki, but then there's also really that focus on self-care. And then also the focus on learning how to develop presence with self, using your body as a fine-tuned instrument to understand what is happening with your clients and what is happening within yourself as well,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. To be a healthy psychotherapist, right? We need to be able to like actually hold both. We need to be able to attune to our clients, know what's going on within our own selves, our own complicated lives.
Yes.
And yet hold them both without necessarily letting one or the other dysregulate us, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's such a good point. A lot of people who are drawn to energy work and some of these spiritual practices, myself included, you are empaths. And so I notice sometimes when I'm giving Reiki, if the client is anxious, I'll just feel a wave of anxiety just pulsate in my body. And I have to go, is this mine or is this theirs? Yes. Grief. I've started crying because I feel their grief so deeply. And so I think training the practitioners, the therapists, there's a real energetic boundary piece needed there.
Also. Yes. Yes. And then that extra layer, right? How to care for myself when I do become overwhelmed with somebody else's feelings.
Yes.
And you know, it's interesting. So attunement, I love that in Reiki, we call it, you know, attunements as well, right? Which means to bring into harmony, to bring, to carry the same frequency. Mm-hmm. And when human beings attune to one another, we feel seen.
Mm-hmm.
We feel heard. And that is a huge experience for somebody who maybe who has never felt seen or heard before. And that relationship in and of itself, that experience in and of itself, I think is really deeply what creates the therapeutic relationship. The reason why, what is it? I think it's 30% of therapeutic outcomes is associated with the therapeutic relationship. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with how well can we attune with that particular client. How well can we bring our body and our feelings into resonance with what they're feeling without becoming overwhelmed ourselves?
Yes.
Because that helps co-regulate their nervous system in such a way that that healing occurs, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 There's an extra layer of transference here when you're talking about energy work on top of just traditional therapy.
Yeah. So then with the second level of Reiki for therapists, again, it's the Usui Reiki tradition. So then we learn about really the emotional mental healing aspects. We add in the symbols and we build our Reiki toolbox and we kind of take it to the next level. That's also where we learn distance Reiki as well. Yeah. So then after Reiki 2, we really, we can start, I feel comfortable with therapists starting to work with clients. We talk a lot about the ethics and, you know, and about what it means to be a Reiki practitioner, a psychotherapeutic Reiki practitioner with clients.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Reiki master teacher level is again for being kind of teaching them, how can you teach other people? And also that higher kind of spiritual frequency level that comes through you when you become attuned as a Reiki master as well. I have found kind of keeps your emotional cup kind of topped up a little bit.
Yes.
And we also really focus on that. Once we get to the Reiki master teacher level, we really focus on like, okay, what are the techniques?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just kind of like, what are the techniques of working with somebody's inner child? What are the techniques if somebody is having a very, very strong emotional response? Mm-hmm. What are, you know, what do we do if we ourselves start to become dysregulated by, you know, perhaps some intuitive impressions that we're receiving? Mm-hmm. And so, and also really understanding what's appropriate as a therapist and what's not appropriate as a therapist, right?
Right.
Make sure that you're really clear about what the limitations are of this practice, of this intervention.
Yes. And allowing for our own humanness too, you know, in the process, because we are human. And so, yes, sometimes our emotions do come through. And I love this work that you're doing, because I do believe it's the wave of the future. I think psychotherapy is going through a huge transformation right now. I believe we're going to start incorporating more plant medicine, energy work, you know, working with acupuncturists, really treating the whole mind, body, and spirit connection. And so you're on the front lines really of this movement, training and teaching psychotherapists how to integrate energy work into their sessions. And I love it. I think this is where we're going in therapy. This is the wave of the future.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It gives us an extra lens. You know, one of my favorite things to kind of say is the subtle energetic system is our missing piece of anatomy, right? Mm-hmm. We've focused on the physical body. We've split off the mind.
Yes.
And so the link, everyone's always looking for the mysterious mind-body link, right?
Yeah.
It is, right? It's in this invisible, subtle energetic system that carries our emotions. It carries a holographic, you know, imprint of everything that has happened to us throughout our lives. It carries our intergenerational trauma. Mm-hmm. And Reiki is working on that subtle level. It's mm-hmm. working so it impacts both the physical body and the nervous system, and it impacts our sense of spiritual connection, and it impacts our emotions and our cognitions, because you're actually, it's almost like you're in there, right? Mm-hmm. You're working at the level where these things live.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And for people who might not be as familiar, can you explain distance Reiki for the people who aren't receiving it in person, how that works? I mean, there's a symbol for it, right?
Yes, there is. Although Reiki is guided by intention.
You know,
in physics, you know, they've identified like the observer effect. They've done quite a few studies about the power of prayer and about how they're actually, there's something, right? This invisible something, this invisible energetic something that happens.
Yeah.
And so the way that I would do a distance Reiki session, right, is I set the intention. Like I sent distance Reiki to this, right?
So yesterday,
I sat down, I set the intention, I had my little notes, and I used that as a representative of our conversation of these moments in time. And I asked the Reiki to flow through and to guide our conversation so it may reach whoever it needed to reach. So, you know, that it would heal anybody who heard it for their highest and greatest good and guide both of our words, you know. And so then there is a visceral experience of receiving Reiki and Reiki flowing as well. Mm-hmm. And so I held that intention, I'm going to say probably for a good 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I gave gratitude, and then the distance Reiki session was over. When you're working with, that's a situational way to give distance Reiki.
Right.
When you're working with a person, I use a pillow, right? But I have a physical representation of what's going on with the person. And you can actually energetically feel, have it, or you may get intuitive impressions. It's a little bit different for everybody, but you can feel what's going on with their energetic system right there off of the pillow.
Yeah.
And then you ask the Reiki to flow, and the person on the other end, even if they're 1,000 miles away, has a really similar experience.
And that's the wild part. I mean, it really
is. Oh, so weird, isn't it?
I was a straight up non-believer. Yeah. I have a whole chapter in my book when I first hear about Reiki for the first time. And I'm like, this sounds ridiculous. Like, this is just straight up voodoo work. I don't know what y'all are talking about over here. I mean, I was completely just like horrified by this idea and concept. And I thought these people were crazy. I really talk about that in my book. But once you experience it, and once you have your own individual encounter with it, you can't deny it anymore.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. I have that line. It was for my very first Reiki teacher in one of my manuals. And it's basically like, you can't explain this. You just have to experience it.
It's so true. It's so true. I mean, that was my experience. I was like, Reiki? Like, what's Reiki? And then they explained it and I laughed. I mean, I thought it was like some cute little joke. And so I went and experienced it for the first time. And it was so profound that that is how I'm now a Reiki master. You know, I mean, once you have that moment of experience and you can't deny the power of what's happening, it's hard to explain it. You really do just have to experience it.
And, you know, and you'll notice, like, I'm having difficulty finding language for what happens.
Right. Right.
One of the ways that they're trying to encourage people to talk about Reiki is like, well, what is the effect, mm-hmm. right? Versus talking about what it is. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. how do we define the great mystery?
Right.
How do we define this experience of being in contact with source energy?
Right.
There's not language for that.
There's not.
We can explain, we can research, we can document what happens to the nervous system, what the subjective experience is with reduced anxiety, with reduced depression, with, you know, so those are the things. It's interesting, like Reiki research is really in its infancy.
Right.
They did do a big study at Harvard, which was super exciting. And they are showing it's mostly in hospital settings though, right? So it's mostly in settings that have to do with the physical body because it's kind of easily measurable. Did this person heal faster? On this scale about anxiety, do they say that their subjective anxiety experience has gone down?
Yep.
The work that I do, and I love that. And I want to be a part of that specifically with like PTSD, right? Mm-hmm. But the work that I do on a daily basis with folks, it doesn't look like that. Mm-hmm. What it looks like is having somebody tune into what's going on with you right now, what needs to be cleared, what needs to be held in presence, what part of yourself might need to be discovered, what unhelpful pattern might need to be supported, being shifted with your either behaviorally or what story are you telling yourself? Mm-hmm. What limited way are you being in the world? And using Reiki in that, in a way to gently augment or enhance, mm-hmm. Enhance talk therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And I love how you brought up that it is being studied because that is happening. And that's where I first started catching on. There was something to this. I first learned about Reiki in Portland, Oregon. And the woman leading the training that I went to shared that they have Reiki masters on the oncology unit working with the patients. And so I thought, wow, this can't be that voodoo if hospitals believe that this is beneficial. And of course, Portland, Oregon was, you know, a place that would have that. I don't think many places have caught on yet.
They do now. They do now. Yes. It's actually amazing. They have it at the Cleveland Clinic. I mean, yes, it's really exciting. And I love that so basically what they figured out is that if we can lower stress in the body, if we can lower anxiety, if we can lift depression, then the physical body healing outcomes, right?
Absolutely,
are improved, right?
Yes.
Because it's all interrelated. And so, it's interesting that out of all the studies, many of them say the one thing that we can document is the subjective experience of anxiety went down.
Wow.
They felt calmer.
Wow.
Now, there's, you know, with distance Reiki and with in-person Reiki, right?
Yes. Yes.
So, and so I think that that really, that matters. If I have somebody come into my office that is, I know I've shown up for therapy systems where I'm, or therapy sessions where I'm dysregulated when I walk
in the door,
you know, I'm anxious just getting there.
Absolutely.
Right. And so sometimes, or I come in and I'm blank. I'm in the hypo arousal. Mm-hmm. There's nothing there. Mm-hmm. You know, Reiki actually, when I have clients come in that are in that state, we'll actually do Reiki first and talk second, or sometimes we'll do Reiki while we're talking on the table.
Yes. Yeah.
Regulate the nervous system in a healthy way. So then more insight can be gained you know, there's so much that can come up when we're able to bring the nervous system into that window of tolerance.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. Because we can't really do therapy when we're not regulated. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to get anywhere. We're not in our frontal lobes where we can receive the information and process, right? We're in the midbrain. And so starting with regulating and getting us back in our window of tolerance is essential for a productive session.
Yes. Yes. And not only just using our prefrontal cortex, right, and gaining insight, but then beyond that, that's when we get to develop our intuition.
Yes. Yes.
That's
yes.
Really here.
Yes.
And that, like, Reiki is like a main line of intuition. Mm-hmm. And so, not only as a practitioner for Reiki for therapists, you know, as a practitioner, it kind of, it's like a main line of intuition, not only about yourself, but about the other people as well. Mm-hmm. And then for clients, it helps them develop their own intuition. Not only just receiving Reiki, but a lot of clients will go on to become trained in Reiki as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even just Reiki one, you know, like, right. I want to be able to use this as a tool for myself in between sessions.
Yes. Yes. And we all know I am so passionate about intuition. I mean, I wrote a book about intuition. I do believe if we can access that divine guidance within us, that is truly how we can step into our power and access, you know, our divine life path. I'm just so passionate about it. And thank you for bringing that up, because my intuition just went through the roof after my Reiki trainings. I mean, I was in tune to the world and myself in a way that I had never experienced before.
Yes. Yes. I had a really similar experience as well. And you know, when it first starts happening, it's a little scary.
It is. Yes.
It's a little like, what is happening to me? Am I making this up in my head? Am I crazy? Yes. Like all the things. Right. And Reiki has really helped me kind of integrate in, like, oh no, this is just me becoming really attuned, mm-hmm. really attuned to what's already there.
Yes. 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 It feels like the veil lifts a little bit. You know, it's already there. I just had more access to the inner guidance, to the voice of my intuition, to connection with source.
Yes.
You know, through this process, the veil was lifted.
And when working with clients, it helps them find their inner access.
Yes.
I'm not the expert. They're the expert.
Yes.
Their higher self knows.
Yes. Yes. And
so it helps. It's like it almost guides me to ask the right questions. I'll mm-hmm. almost like get this tap on my shoulder, like, go in this direction.
Yes.
And then that's often when I'll ask the question that breaks it open, you know?
Absolutely.
And it is that intuitive guidance. It's coming through not only from myself, but from the other client, from the client as well. Even if they might not be aware that they're sending those signals.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I know we both love Louise Hay and use her book a lot in our practice. And she said, you know, before she transitioned, that we're really leaving the Piscean age and going into the Aquarian age, where we realize our own power. and we stop looking outside of ourselves for answers. And so you and I are just the guides for their power that's already within them. We just help guide them back to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is 100% what it is.
Yeah. Yes. Amazing. I love all of this and everything that you're doing. And so I'm wondering, do you have any like tips or guidance or any words you want to share and leave the audience with? I know I didn't prepare you for that question.
No, it's okay. I actually, what comes up for me is to give yourself, to gift yourself.
I love that.
You know, 3 to 5 minutes of just being with yourself in a sense of, with a sense of curiosity and presence, mm-hmm. without any agenda. Mm-hmm. And then place your hands on yourself in a mm-hmm. loving and nurturing way, mm-hmm. wherever that might be. You know, if it's your hips or your lower belly or your heart, but just sending yourself a message, I'm here with you, mm-hmm. I'm listening. And you don't, there's nothing wrong with you. You don't need to change. I accept you the way that you are. Mm-hmm. That really, to me, has been, and anybody can do that, Reiki or no Reiki, right?
Exactly. Yes.
We can invite that through. And that, to me, is what I would offer.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Kara.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I adore you. I think the world of you. I love you. It is such a gift for me to have you on the show and to talk about this, because you're really how I got started in Asheville. I mean, just in private practice and flourishing in my career. So it just feels so symbolic to have you on the show and to share, you know, the direction that you've gone in. And I know your practice is full, but how can people find you and what are you doing that they could maybe access and be a part of?
I actually have a few spots. So just
okay, great.
So you can reach me at www.insight-owl.com. And then if you're interested in the Reiki classes, it's reikiforththerapists.com. And then I actually have a third one, which is return to balance with reiki.com.
Yes, absolutely.
I have all three. I have the psychotherapeutic Reiki, the teaching, and then just also just a regular Reiki session to bring us back into balance.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us today and for being a part of the show. It's really special.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Okay. Many blessings.
Bye.